92.9 KJEE. Good morning. I'm Ricky Biggs here with Issues and Information. And sitting with me, I have Clive Neeson, filmmaker who just produced The Last Paradise, screened at the Arlington this past Wednesday, presented by the Santa Barbara City College Center for Sustainability. Clive, how are you doing?
Very much, Ricky. Pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you here. So how'd the screening go?
Fantastic. Yeah, we had a great turnout Wednesday night. We had, I think it was about 1,000 people in the Arlington, and just a fantastic venue there. And some great Q&A questions after.
Glad you like Santa Barbara so much. So you want to tell us a little bit about the movie, 45 years in the making. How did you start off in filmmaking?
I began filming this film when I was 15 years old. And by 17 years old, I pretty much knew what kind of film I was going to make one day. And it was just a case of, I suppose, the way the world was going, taking its course and things coming to a conclusion and a fruition, that made it very timely to complete the film now, or the last 4 years.
Going over the film, I mean, you're taking us all these different places that, you know, at the time that you were there were, you know, kind of unspoiled, so to speak. And, you know, how have they changed now, 45 years later?
Well, 45 years ago, many of these places weren't known of. They certainly weren't known of to tourism anyway. And as you know, some of the early travelers were surfers and sports, extreme sports pioneers themselves. So it was myself and friends who went out with cameras and visited these places in the very early days. And of course, as you know today, mainstream tourism has reached these destinations well beyond just the sports participants themselves. And so as a consequence, they're almost unrecognizable. But of course, many of them have disappeared in effect. Some of the places we went there were glaciers. They were very long and extraordinary glaciers. They don't exist anymore. So it was really great to have captured them in film back then in the early 70s. And some of these places have perhaps had a bit too much tourism and have been developed in not such good ways. And as a consequence, they're, you say, overdeveloped. But with all of them, we can learn a lot of lessons. We have lessons we can learn ecologically on how the world's climate's changed, just evidentially by seeing these places the way they were then and how they've changed now. And also in the way in which we plan tourism into the future.
And how do you suggest that we plan tourism, kind of, you know, what were some of the lessons that you learned in seeing the changes in these places?
Well, I think that the particular places that we do visit, for example, if the local people at the time had appreciated what was unique about it, and of course they would see a different point of view themselves because tourism was new to them, they weren't framing it up like that, it would have been better if the tourism, or at least the hosting of the visitors in future, would have been done and controlled by those people. And what happened and what instigated the mass development of many places was outside investors coming in with big money and answering to the needs of visitors who were demanding and expecting luxury accommodation. So in the early days, it was the first visitors were quite happy to live, say, in a backyard accommodation owned by the locals. The locals got 100% of the money, although it was probably a very small part of what today is charged for accommodation, but they were getting 100% of it, which was quite a lot in their day. And now, of course, they're sweeping the floors in grand hotels, which are owned by foreigners. And for those people who visited those places in the early days, they would not see the place as worth visiting now because the essence of what they went for is gone. They would still go there if it was the same. So you replaced one kind of tourist who might sustain the way things were for the betterment of the local with another kind of tourist. Hopefully you can accommodate both, but I think those places that have changed dramatically and detrimentally, as you see in the film, Last Paradise, have suffered from that, whereby outside investment has squeezed out the local. And it's what we insist on when we go on holiday that really makes or breaks a place. You know, just go on holiday with the view that if this place is beautiful or was beautiful, then make your choices in a way that will sustain that beauty.
All right. Do you think culturally that we can get back to that kind of, you know, local spirit of things, or, you know, more of a mindset of preservation?
I think the beginning is actually being aware of the connection between your choices when you go on holiday and your insistence on taking your Western world with you, and then thinking about those choices. That's the first is that we're actually aware of that connection.
And that's what, you know, Last Paradise, I guess, is definitely trying to accomplish here. Or one of the things it tries to accomplish is just bringing that awareness.
Yes. I think Last Paradise is actually just a fun journey. You get to explore places and worlds that no longer exist. But it's all very fun in the spirit of pioneering. You're riding along experientially with the characters that went there first. We filmed it in a way, always, that allowed the audience to participate as if they were there. It's not a talking heads documentary. There are six people telling the story, but you don't see their faces. You see the actual images of the way it was then. So we want the film to subliminally make people aware of these facts, these situations. But in the main part, it's also a very fun journey, an exciting journey about the pioneering of what we would call today extreme sports and adventure travel.
And I mean, yeah, I mean, you guys in the film really pioneered a lot of the new extreme sports that, I mean, back in the day, you know, weren't so popular, but now it's very mainstream. I mean, what kind of stuff were you guys doing back then that you kind of showcased in the film?
Well, the particular sports that are pioneered then, all, I think, they sprung from the Maverick spirit. And a lot of that Maverick spirit in New Zealand and Australia, as it was in the US, was probably borne about by the surfer. The first surfers are probably the first to break the mold there. And so the story may start with surfing, but it progresses on to wave sailing, extreme wave sailing, surfing, which is a form of wakeboarding, snowboarding, first snowboarding, and then all the way to kite surfing and big wave tow-in surfing. And for example, big wave tow-in surfing, we start on the sheep farm. We invent the jet boat, which was invented in New Zealand. And we progress through these various cascaded developments and inventions, innovations. And you get to see how the line is drawn from one invention to the next, till we finally reach probably the ultimate in free energy sports today, which is kite surfing in big waves. I think that's probably the most modern manifestation of bringing all these technologies.
And you talk about the Maverick spirit that kind of, you know, drove you guys to kind of create these sports. Do you think that's still alive and well today with, you know, extreme sports being more mainstream?
Yes, it is alive at a different level. I think that the adversity back then and the fact that we actually didn't have many resources propelled a lot of innovation. But what I'd like to encourage through the movie Last Paradise is that the innovative spirit can be adopted, and it's there to take us to the next stage. The next stage of not only sports and free energy sports and exciting extreme sports, but also to take us into an era of innovation in terms of restoring the world and the wilderness back to what it was, because there is no other direction for that. The natural world was the natural world, and the only way back is to the natural world. It's not to anything else. But that does require a lot of innovation. So the stage is set now for every individual to think in innovative terms to steering it back there. Because as we say in the film, the protectors of tomorrow's wilderness are the kids who play in it today. And it's through doing that you become conscious of the way it should be and how you can get it back there.
So the Santa Barbara City College's Center for Sustainability is one who presented the film last night at the Arlington. Have you been doing any work with them or at all? Or
the film Last Paradise was brought back to Santa Barbara by the Center for Sustainability. And that was a result of its screening in the Santa Barbara Film Festival last February. And it was on the initiative of Margie Bushman and Wes that we're actually invited back to screen it. And so it's been a privilege to do that. And I think what's going to come out of that is hopefully the invitation by other colleges and perhaps universities to utilize The Last Paradise as a way of propelling thought and conversation on sustainability itself and doing it in an exciting way, because the film has many handles on it in all respects of sustainability. So what we're trying to do is to perhaps organize some kind of tour around California, at least next spring perhaps, or summer, and we'll be looking for any opportunity we can to get the film further and wider, because it certainly has been appreciated in California, and there's lots of links in this film to New Zealand and Australia, and it's very well embraced and intriguing for people, I think, that live in California, and we'd like to get it to younger people. So if there's anyone out there that knows any links to organizations that are interested in becoming a partner in propelling it, both in access to community colleges and also in publicity when we do get to that point next summer to take it around California.
And I believe the film also has a website where they can get a hold of you. What is that?
Our website is www.lastparadisefilm. Last Paradise as in final. So lastparadisefilm.com is where you can get hold of us.
And just before we go, I mean, is there a Last Paradise? I mean, you talked so much about how these places have changed over time. I mean, is there a Last Paradise that's left, or what is that?
Well, there is. And through the film, you just certainly get to discover many paradises. But there is a twist in the tale, so I can't reveal that moment. But yes, there is a Last Paradise.
All right, Clive Neeson, the film once again, Last Paradise. Definitely go check it out, Clive. Thanks again for stopping in and talking to us. This has been Issues and Information. I'm Ricky Biggs for 92.9 KJEE.